coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
All over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
When they go low, we kick.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck? The
biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized right, up to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. I said, even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? I said, I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look, as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. HagmanStore.com for some great coffee. America held hostage by the media-run state, by the Marxist, Maoist, Leninist, globalist cabal. It's day six of America held hostage. Today is Monday, January 25th, 2021. What you saw there at the open is hypocrisy at its finest. What you saw there at the open is the threat that we are facing from these technocrats, from these elite rulers. What you saw there is a tremendous double standards. Of course, I don't have to tell you that. You know, some things, now this is a quote from Thomas Sowell from 4 days ago. Some things are believed because they are demonstrably true. But many other things are believed simply because they have been asserted repeatedly and the repetition has been accepted as a substitute for evidence. How does that tie in with what you just saw at the beginning? Well, for those of you who have watched mainstream media, you can tell the hypocrisy, the fact that we have National Guard troops in Washington, D.C., which makes one question whether Joe Biden in his, or Mr. Potato Head, happened to sign, you know, some act of martial law. And that actually, that was questioned by a representative, you know, did you sign martial law that we don't know about? Because the troops are supposedly going to be there through the impeachment trial. And this impeachment trial is scheduled to begin on February 9th, starting on the 8th, but really in the Senate on February 9th. And my, in conclusion, my opening statement here is I hope upon hope that they do have a full trial, because that would permit President Trump to present exculpatory evidence or defense evidence specifically regarding the predicate involving the January 6th activities. The predicate being, of course, the theft of an election. Now, you'll notice I don't have to couch my statements because YouTube, we're not on YouTube. The theft of an election. And if that is permitted, a full trial without any restraint, I will guarantee you the American people will look at that evidence, or at least the thinking people who are not the Hollywood denizens who are filled with vile hatred, will look at the evidence and say, this election was a sham of an election. There's plenty of evidence. And I might add this. The memes, plural, the statements that, well, you had, there were 81 cases that were summarily dismissed because of lack of evidence, is patently false. Again, go back to Sybil's statement. They were dismissed on procedure, on lack of standing, on latches, the doctrine of latches, meaning, you know, you didn't suffer hurt before the event, before the election, and afterward. Essentially, it's too late. All right. So, lack of standing and so on. That, folks, again, you see those people at the beginning. You see what's happening today. Hey, maybe we should take their advice. Maybe we should occupy, because the DHS and the intelligence community, this is the very same IC that declared war on President Trump, has declared war on you. If you're watching this, you are a target of the DHS. If you're listening to this in Global Star, you are a target of the DHS. If you happen to tweet or put a message on Facebook in defense of or support of President Trump, you are a target of the of DHS, of the intelligence community. And it's going to be worse than that. Compare that to the stars worn by the Jews in Nazi Germany. You will be ostracized, you will be vilified, and you will be nullified until you are destroyed. That's what's coming your way. And quite frankly, on a Monday, I really don't have a lot of good things to say. To the people who are engaged in hopium, you better start rethinking your plan. To the people who believe that there's some sort of fairy dust person out there that's going to sprinkle fairy dust, and all this is going to just be this is all a movie. You better start rethinking what you're hearing and who you're listening to. People out there who think that situation is going to be normal. Normal is gone. There is no more normal. With that, I want to bring my co-host, Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor has been a longtime friend, multiple decades, great guy. And of course, Monday, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Visit his website there. You can listen to his three hour program Monday through Friday for people out on the West Coast. That's daily, Monday through Friday. And, it's right there. If you go to thelibertyman.com, you can click on the link to the program, drill down, and you can get archive programs and listen to the archive programs as well. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right there. Good morning, sunshine.
Good morning. John Moore, how are you?
I felt any better, it wouldn't be legal, Doug.
Well, that's one of us. Actually, you can spread some of that sunshine this way. Yeah. Eric the Tech. By the way, Eric the Tech, how are you after a long weekend? Or not a long weekend, after a weekend.
Short weekend. Short doing weekend. Good.
All right. I just had to check back with everyone. Chuck.
Yeah, we're all good. Everybody's good but you.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm more of a realist. I'm more of a realist. All right. Guys, where do you want to start?
Well, with a video you played, that's just the perfect example of the double standards of the left. And that's not going to change anytime soon. The only person that said anything credible in that video was Kamala Harris, where she said they won't stop. They're going to keep coming. Yes, you are correct. Outside of that, I don't know. I remember Maxine Waters whipping the fury up and getting especially during the Kavanaugh hearings and just the things she was saying. I was surprised that a legislator wouldn't be called out on the floor for what she was saying. Pelosi, that's par for the course. There's a huge set of double standards here, folks. And we got that has to be fixed.
Indeed.
Question is how? Not with the current government.
No.
And not with the Republicans we have. In fact, the Republican Party is imploding right now. I mean, it started imploding some time ago, but it's really going strong now. If you watch with their news releases and all, they're acting like everything's cool and we're just doing our jobs. And they don't, then you read some of the comments back to them. It's like people have not forgotten that you turned on the president. Sure. So their time in office is actually very limited. I don't know about this new MAGA Patriot Party, how effective that would be.
And please understand, that's not Donald Trump. That is not Donald Trump doing that. Okay. Right now that domain is registered to a private citizen. He has not come out directly with the Patriot Party.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting to.
But, sorry to cut you off that way.
But that's okay. Doug, what he said.
Okay.
All right, John, what do you got?
Yeah, what do you got, John? Let's take inventory. Yeah, actually, John, 7 days ago, I don't know. 7 days ago, compare your last appearance to where we are today. I mean, are you surprised where we are today, or are you talk to me.
Okay, well, 7 days ago, there had not been an inauguration yet. Obviously, it was taking place. Very sad day for America. Unless there are some changes made in how the votes are the ballots are taken and how they're counted, the Democrats will win every presidential election, every U.S. Senate, every U.S. Congressman seat that they choose to. They have a system that will win every time. Unless that changes, us conservatives will never win another one of those elections that they don't want to win themselves. Here's the problem, gentlemen. The people that have the power to change that are in power in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, and so forth. So unless there's conservatives elected in those states that will change the Dominion voting machines and the way ballots are counted and no longer have mail-in ballots, unless that happens, it won't be changed. It's one of those circular arguments. In order to change the way ballots are counted and ballots are mailed out and so forth, we need to change the people in charge. But we can't change people in charge because they have an unbreakable way to get reelected. I don't see any way around it.
That's a vicious cycle there.
It is. I don't see any way for it to be changed. I don't want to sound doom and gloom here, but I really don't. The conservative states, which is most of the states, can't win elections anymore at the national level. We may win the occasional U.S. Senate, U.S. congressmen, governors, and so forth, but we can never again get control of the House or the Senate. Are the Oval Office in any way that I can determine? I don't know what that process would be. I really don't. I have a couple of very lovely ladies who come on with me every Tuesday morning to talk about vote fraud. And they're at a loss themselves. And I've known one of them for 26 years. She was the presidential campaign chair for three different presidential candidates, and she remains. She doesn't want those people revealed. There was not various non-disclosure agreements. Very bright woman. She really understands how the system works. And she has no answer either. And if one of you have an answer, or Andy or Doug, I would love to hear it. But I don't see how that cycle can be broken. Do either one of you have an answer?
Did you happen to notice that the union is closing in on Amazon? And Jeff Bezos says that as far as the union vote, it needs to be done in person, that he doesn't want any mail-in voting.
Well, of course.
I don't know if you saw that in the paper.
I didn't see that, but yeah, of course he doesn't.
That's pretty good.
Of course he doesn't. That's
well,
a given.
Have either of you gentlemen heard that H.R. 1 from January of 2019, House Resolution 1 that was introduced by Sarbanes out of Maryland is coming back on or is gaining new life? The bottom line here, it's for the People Act, and it's the short title is or the short summary is to expand Americans' access to the ballot box. And I could go on. You can just put a period there. But the bottom line is this. They're attempting to hijack and have successfully hijacked the entirety of our election system. And if this is not fixed, and one last thing, and I'm going to kind of back away here. I am so tired of people saying, well, 2022, 2024, there won't be a 2022 vote or a 2024 vote until we resolve 2020. Go ahead.
Well, you just basically are reinforcing what I just said there, Doug. It won't matter. Yeah. The people in charge can't be changed because they control who gets elected. Yeah. And we saw President Trump's team, a brilliant legal team. I've personally met and spent an hour with Sidney Powell one-on-one, Rudy Giuliani, another brilliant man. They probably had a team of at least between 100 and 200 attorneys, 100 and 200 paralegals, probably a good number of investigators. And they couldn't crack that nut. The corruption of at the federal courts was something they couldn't get past, which was, and it should be, I should say, a way to resolve this. But despite their best efforts, it could not be resolved. So that's the place that we are, gentlemen. We've heard the last 6-8 months many prognosticators prognosticating about Civil War II. And it may come down to that. Desperate men do desperate things, and we are reaching a point of desperation when men recognize that our republic is broken and can't be fixed.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah,
that's the whole premise of our government. I mean, that's what we're built on. That's the foundation. It's supposed to be we the people. It's not we the people anymore. It's they the politicians.
The Founding Fathers were brilliant in having the three branches, judiciary, executive, and legislative, be separate. And it worked for more than 200 years. But now we're at a point where one entity, that would be the communists, control all three. Executive branch, legislative branch, and the judicial branch, with no way that I can see of it being broken. Personally, my prepper tip of the day, which I give every day, is to retreat, regroup, retrain, and reequip. These fights are going to be at the state level now. And we're going to see an out-migration of the red states. That's been going on for years, quite frankly. People escaping taxes and regulations and other things, escaping the red states, going to the blue states. That will become a flood of people escaping the red states and going to the blue states.
I know, other way around.
Right. A large number of which will be the brightest, best, and most productive people from that state. The people have the most to gain and the most to lose by leaving. Leaving behind the less productive people who have nothing to gain and not much to lose by staying there. That's a prescription for disaster of the red states. Losing your most productive people, the business owners, the professionals, that's devastating to any state, and that's going to increase to a flood, I believe, gentlemen. As long as there's people can travel, and in fact, California, I understand, had pending legislation to continue taxing people that were no longer residents of the state. That's not going to fly.
No.
Simply not.
I heard that, too.
Tell me how that's working out. Gavin Newsom, by the way. Folks, if you haven't done so already, if you're a resident of California, please sign the recall petition for Gruesome Newsom. Just do it, okay? Just sign the recall petition for Gavin Newsom. I think there are three I think it needs 1.5 million signatures. I think they're 300,000 short. I think their goal is closer to 2 million because of the invalidation of signatures that will undoubtedly occur. So sign the recall petition for Newsom and make sure it's done today. Please do that because there's only, I think, 2 weeks left or maybe 15 days. I'm not sure, but it's coming.
How does that work when they recall?
Frankly, I don't know the mechanics of it. I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, because I've heard this term used a lot, recall, and I'm like, I'm really not 100% sure how it works.
Well,
the legislators would have to pull the governor out.
Yeah, well,
and then have another election, correct?
I believe that's how it used to work. How it works now, Lord only knows. I don't know, but we need Newsom gone. And John and Randy, just to let you know, now California Newsom is going to lift the stay-at-home orders across the state, which I think is damn convenient and pretty in your face. Which so transparent that this whole
COVID restrictions are being lifted.
Yeah.
It was so
well, we were talking about that all last fall, that the day after the election they'd be lifted. They waited, obviously, a couple of months. I expect the same thing to happen in other red states, blue states as well, and in all states. Once California, Oregon, and Washington State do it, then everybody else will follow.
And there you go.
My 14-year-old grandchildren haven't been to school for almost a year. I think it'll be in March. It'll be a full year. They have not been to school. My grandson is a football player and wrestler. They had secret workouts for the football team. And, because they'd get in trouble if the school found out. For wrestling, the team has to travel 5 hours one way for a wrestling event. And his twin sister, she has nothing. She's a volleyball player. And they have secret workouts, but they can't have games. It's tragic what's being done to our children. It really is tragic.
It is, yes. Same thing with my daughter. She's doing online classes. And the social impact that it has on children breaks my heart.
How can you measure it? I mean, they make attempts, but... children don't have the maturity.
No.
Understand what's going on, why it's going on, to deal with it as an adult, because they're children.
Yeah, and God bless them. They're resilient, but they're really being hurt right now. They're really, really being hurt.
Let's remind people how many teenage suicides occurred in Las Vegas because of this lockdown. It made the news this weekend about the suicides of school-age young people in Las Vegas.
I would imagine, Doug, that the suicide rate, and this is just, I'm just guessing, I have no data whatsoever because I haven't looked it up, but I would imagine the suicide rates are a lot higher than they've ever been, and we're certainly not hearing about them.
Yeah, I had it up here, and I don't have it up anymore, but yes, and this whole... We've been lied to every single day by the mainstream media, and it's a bunch of crap. It really is.
And they've got the nerve to get upset because people are upset. Are you kidding me? You have pushed the American people really just about as far as you're going to push the American people. And I'm not talking about these willfully ignorant idiots on the left. They, you know, you're talking about a Senate trial. I absolutely think that would be fantastic. The problem with Senate trial is we're going to go through that same screening process with the media unless people actually sit down and watch the trial itself.
Because most people,
yeah, most people just want a summary. Yep. And unfortunately, you're getting their summary from CNN. It's like I had a buddy one time, and I knew his wife was messing around on him. And this was my best friend. I was young. I was in my 20s. And I went to him, and I told him, and he flipped out on me. Told me to get out of his house. Don't ever talk to him again. Right. It broke my heart, and I left. About a year later, he showed up at my front door, apologized, and told me that I was right. And I was like, well, yeah. And then he thanked me, finally, for telling him. And the thing, the moral of that story is, every day we're trying to tell the left that their candidate's cheating on them. That their entire Democrat Party is cheating on them. They don't want to hear it. And that's it. I mean, that, to me, that's the perfect analogy. They don't want to hear it. They want to be willfully ignorant. People don't want more complications in their life. We've got this society now where, oh, just streamline. In fact, I don't even want to wait more than 2 minutes for a hamburger. We have drive-thrus. You know, everything is, I need it right now, and I need it without a hassle. And unfortunately, that's the way we think. And be thankful, people, that there's people like John Moore, there's people like Doug Hagman, there's people like myself, and a lot of people you see on this show that question. We have to question, especially when we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we're being lied to every day, and we're being milked. And they're trying to form us. And because we won't conform, we are now extremists. Someone called us insurgents because we're patriot when we're Christians.
Right.
Thanks. When they head down that particular road, you know, the Christian thing, Christianity's been under assault in this country for decades with everything that goes against Christian traditions. And it's just becoming more and more prominent. And what's funny is they don't try and hide it anymore. Now it's just blatant. And they speak out against Christianity. I mean, they in our legislative houses, they speak out against Christianity. Stop and think about that. What was this country based on? Pretty much Christian philosophy.
We're seeing where that leads to in Canada, where certain quotations from the Bible are regarded as hate speech.
Yes, sir.
I can easily see that getting through the United States House, the United States Senate these days, and being signed by the president. Easily see that happen. Going back to the topic of the suicides, Doug, what's the classic liberal response? Here it is. We've heard it many times. You have to break a few eggs to make an omelet. It's so cold and so cruel to refer to the loss of innocent life in that manner. But we've all heard it before, haven't we, gentlemen?
Yep. The
left we'll hear it again.
Yeah, the left we'll has no regard for human life.
No, not at all. Well, Biden's taking a lot of heat from the Catholic Church. He's allegedly Catholic, but fully supports aborting babies. Which is completely inconsistent with Catholic theology, but he still says it to maintain his base of support.
Now you're talking Randy's language.
Yeah, because he was. I've seen a lot of things here since the inauguration, going about how he's a Christian man, his religious, you know, foundations. The man can't take communion in church. He's been refused communion because of his stance on abortion. But
did he try to take communion? Was shut down? Was he that stupid?
Yeah, actually it was. But
really?
It was in 2019. The problem we have is this is that media whitewash again. The media is trying to peddle propaganda that Joe Biden is some sort of moderate, you know, centrist.
The block of Catholics vote, and they traditionally vote Democratic.
Yeah.
If that entire block of Catholics knew that he was denied communion because of his supporting abortion, that by itself could have changed the election if there had been a free and fair election. Of course, it was not. You know, President Trump won by a massive landslide as far as the actual ballots. Nothing could have changed that election, even all the Catholics voting for Donald Trump. Nothing could have changed it.
Yeah. That election was a complete sham.
Well, you know, the Epoch Times, Patrick Wood is a friend of the program. Patrick Wood, the author of Technocracy Now. I might have got the title wrong on that. I apologize. But if you look up Patrick Wood, he's been on our program before. But see, here's the thing, the increased censorship of people's views being expressed on social media by big tech companies has been a part of this orchestrated attack against us, against the First Amendment. It's an attack on the First Amendment. And we're not going to get the truth. As you had stated, both of you had stated, you know, if people knew that, if people knew this, if people knew that. But see, we're being told as a group, gentlemen, that you know, everything is fine with respect to the elections. Anything to the contrary is a conspiracy theory, and we are peddling conspiracy theories. Again, you know, which is, I look at this as the predicate for the events of the 6th of January. We're not insurgents. We are attempting, I don't know how to describe us. We're patriots. Right, and help
that's a good way. That's a good way to describe us. Patriots, we're conservative Christian patriots.
Exactly.
They want to label us as insurgents. Well, I'll tell you right now, there is no insurgency
except by the left.
Until you push us into an insurgency.
Right. Well, there is a communist insurgency, a communist conspiracy, or the international communist conspiracy, coming mostly out of China. And that's exactly what's taking place, gentlemen, is the international communist conspiracy has captured our country.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a sad day to have to say this, but, going back to the House Un-American Activities Committee being shut down and their a mission statement not being taken over by another House subcommittee, which it was promised it would, that opened the floodgates for the international communist conspiracy to infiltrate our entire educational system, our entire media, music, movies, books, magazines, and of course, high places in both government and industry. The floodgates opened, and now we're living the consequences of that.
Yep. And everything, if you note, everything that they accuse us of is what they're guilty of. Violent protests. They've accused us of a coup. They've been conducting a coup ever since Donald Trump walked down the escalator. It's total mind manipulation, and the problem is half the country has fallen for it.
It's about well, if you go by the election results, it's about maybe a fourth, I would say. But the mass media's behind it. They make themselves. It brings me back to the word Bolshevik. Bolshevik is a Russian word for majority. The Bolsheviks that took over Russia in 1917 were never more than 2 or 3% of the population at the most. 2 or 3%, and they managed to capture a country that spans 13 time zones. There's no country on the planet that spans 13 time zones except Russia. None. And they managed to do that by the criminal activity they conducted in 1917. And here they are in control of our country. They control the Oval Office. They control the United States Senate. They control the United States House of Representatives. They control a number of high population states, such as New York and California. We're in deep trouble here, gentlemen, and it's going to come down, as I've said before, to patriotic, Constitution-defending county sheriffs to defend us. When all else fails, we have Constitution-defending county sheriffs, more than 3,300 counties, most of which still have an elected sheriff, most of which those sheriffs still have the statutory and traditional authority and power of a county sheriff. And the New World Order knows this. That's why they've been working to change elected sheriffs into appointed sheriffs, stripping them of their traditional statutory powers and their traditional authority that they've always had for about two centuries plus. They're scared to death of county sheriffs because they understand that the county sheriff is traditionally the head of the county militia, which is why, Doug and I, we've been interacting with sheriffs for decades. I meet these country sheriffs that may have a dozen or 20 men working for them, and they're wearing a star on their shoulder, maybe two or three stars, which would indicate a brigadier or general or higher. Before I understood the militia statutes, it didn't make sense to me. Why would a county sheriff wear the one star or two star insignia of a general? But once I understood the militia statutes, I understood that sheriff in time of a crisis would be in charge of many thousands of men and women of the county militia, which is why he has to wear that rank of at high rank, because of the thousands of people that they would be in charge of. It makes perfect sense. And the New World Order knows this, and they're scared to death of it. And they'll do what they can to do away with county sheriffs, which is mostly going to be unsuccessful, I believe. What do you think, Randy?
I'd absolutely agree with you. And county sheriffs, I admire them when they stand up and they say, we will not take guns and weapons from people. You know,
attempt to do it, it'd be by himself because the deputies would all quit.
Yeah, but it's refreshing to see the sheriff stand up and say it.
It is. It needs to happen.
And that makes you feel good. That makes you feel like you got somebody in your corner. Where I'm from, down south, the sheriff pretty much runs things. Now, that's just how it is. You know, you got little cities and all inside of the side of his jurisdiction. But the sheriff pretty much runs things.
When it comes to law enforcement, they do, absolutely.
And
I believe it's not just the South Range. I believe it's most of the 50 states, the majority of them anyway.
I didn't interact with them until I was a business owner down south.
Right.
And I had always voted for this one particular, and I always supported youth ranches. Because I felt they were a great thing, and they were sponsored through the sheriff's departments in Florida. And I got called in one day to, you know, shake hands with the sheriff, get the picture taken and all that. I like the Florida sheriffs. Every one of them that I met was a pretty outstanding character, and they were like us. They were just regular Americans, you know, and they weren't against firearms and citizens owning firearms. They felt it made for a safer county.
Right.
You know, because it is for a safer county when the citizens are armed. Because when you start stripping the weapons, the only people then that have weapons are the tyrants at the top and the criminals. No.
Well, I know personally, Randy, whenever I'm driving past what appears to be a routine traffic stop, I'll slow down to see if the officer is okay or if he needs assistance. And if he does, I'm there in a heartbeat to help that officer to be able to get home alive that night. It's pretty tough, and I routinely, it doesn't involve anything involving firearms, but out here where I live, I'm a first responder to a traffic accident about once every 3 to 4 months. My town car is equipped with strobe lights, and I'll approach the accident. I may be the very first person on the scene. Sometimes a highway patrol or deputy's there, and I'll ask, what can I do? Mm-hmm. They'll be by themselves, and they need to have traffic control on both ends of the accident, so I'll maintain traffic control on one end while the officer maintains control on the other end until the volunteer fire department shows up or more deputies or police show up, and then I'm relieved of my duty to help prevent more accidents. Somebody going 60 miles an hour around a curve where there's already been an accident could easily end up in more loss of life and more property damage. And that's just a reality of living out here where I live, where the response time can be 20 minutes or 40 minutes or even an hour on a weekend evening when they're busy in other parts of the county dealing with what they got to deal with. So helping the police is just what we do out here. I'm not the only guy that does it. All my neighbors do the same thing. They help control traffic. They help the officers when they need help. And it's just living life in the country, Randy, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. Where I grew up, south side of St. Louis, it was some crazy number. It was like 8 sheriff's deputies for this massive county. And
it's which county was it?
That was Madison County.
Madison County. I know, yeah. Madison County.
Okay. And it took, it's like you said, if there was an accident or something, man, it was a good 45 minutes before you saw somebody. You're likely the sheriff could get to you, you know, for the deputy could, because they were so strung out.
Right. Right. Well, Madison County is a very large county.
Yeah. But we always,
covering three shifts, you basically have maybe 3 men for a day shift, which leaves 5. And
it was definitely sad, but you always helped.
Yeah.
I was raised that way. Help law enforcement. Plain and simple. I've done like you said. I've directed traffic before. I had one time in Florida. Deputy was, I don't know why the prisoners were out of the van, but they were out of the van and he was having trouble with them. And they were ankle chained to each other, which made it actually quite easy because all I did was walk up, grab the ankle chain and put them both down. But these guys, I didn't know where it was going and it didn't matter. They were resisting. I don't even know why they were out of the van, but anyway, that's what you do.
Exactly.
You know, because exactly. Those are the same guys too, that when there was a problem at my house would show up in the middle of the night. You know, they put their lives on the line. So,
well, okay, and this goes back to what John said. All right, early on, his prepper tip of the day. By the way, I was on with Dave Hodges yesterday, last night. I believe it was last night. It aired, and he made a statement. He said, you know, it's pretty dark out there. And my statement to that is, I don't recall the exact conversation, but, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. And you can see the stars. The stars are brighter in that dark. And we have to be stars. But back to what you, which kind of segues into what, John, your initial statement about the prepper tip of the day. People, we are angry because, as Daniel Horowitz had stated, we no longer live in a constitutional republic. We live in a sadistic, two-tiered justice system wherein Christian conservatives are subject to hedonistic communism. But the left, people on the left, the leftists, the communist enablers can live in accordance with this 1789 laissez-faire kind of built monopoly handed to them by a government that they collude with and banish conservatives from society. This is where we're at. So your prepper tip of the day, rather than dwell on the issues that got us here, although we can't forget them, people are looking for answers. People are saying, well, what do I do? What can I do? We must hold people to account, but your prep tip of the day, let's make it personal here. Let's help people out. Because I can tell people to call, you know, the Maricopa County, Arizona, the people, the audit is finally going to go forward, but let's do it on our terms, not on their terms. Let's do it on fairness, not with what they're saying. So that's one issue. The Newsom recall for people in California, that's another thing. What are the proactive steps here? Segueing into your prepper tip of the day, John.
Well, first of all, unless something changes, forget about a third party. That's a non-starter. The power needs to be at the county level. Every county has a Republican Central Committee. or they should anyway. Many of those positions go unfilled, unfilled committee men, unfilled committee women. Those positions need to be filled up by a conservative activist who are willing to show up for the monthly central committee meeting, who are willing to make phone calls, who are willing to help out making copies or work it with sending out emails or whatever it might be to make sure that at the county level you have a constitution defending sheriff, elected for sheriff, that all county positions are filled with constitution supporting conservative Christians, hopefully, at the county level. And that in turn, when it comes to the state level, that people show up for the state meetings to make sure that conservative Christians are going to the state meetings, that you have a conservative state rep, that you have a conservative state senator. There's a very predictable way that men and women become U.S. congressmen and U.S. senators. They start at the local level. They become a state rep. They become a state senator. In turn, they become a U.S. congressman and a U.S. senator. That's the way our system works. It has to be made clear that at every step of the way, conservative Christians will be awarded with votes. Those who are not will be defeated. That needs to be made real clear to every politician at every level so that we only attract and elect conservative, Bible-believing, Constitution-supporting candidates at every step of the way. That's particularly true in places like Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, any other place, Georgia. But
there's that term elect again. What about?
Right. Yeah,
about,
see, there you go. We're kind of stuck right there.
We're stuck, and
because we can't get a fair election, you know.
Right.
Well, that somehow we've got to fix that.
We have no choice. We have no choice. That's what we can do. It has to become, if we get enough majorities in those key states, they can't conceal the fraud forever. Once the fraud becomes so visible, it will have to change, I believe. At least I hope. I'm not going to give up. In the meantime, the proposals of the Democrats, unless something's changed, Beto O'Rourke will be in charge of confiscating our firearms.
Yeah,
If they want to start a war, if that's their goal,
that would be a bloodbath.
And they know that. They know that if they go after their guns, they'll be starting a civil war. They know.
You know what we should do? Because we've got to get the left and the right angry about the elections. So at 2022, I should go in and hack all the Dominion voting machines. Okay, we'll just swing them right on over to the right. There won't be a lefty, because then they would get upset and want to do something about it.
Well, they did that in 2018, 2016.
I'm talking about we hack them.
Right, but I mean, they were complaining. The left was complaining about the machines in 2016.
Yeah. See, these people that are in power now. This is a lost cause. They are a waste of space. They're a waste of time because they don't want the election results reviewed because most of them probably don't belong where they're sitting legitimately.
Right.
Have you ever seen so many people going, no, the election was fine. Election was fine. Meanwhile, you know their phones are ringing off the hooks. Their fax machines are out of paper. Their email is flooded with proof. Videos. They see this stuff. They get briefed every morning by their staff. They know there was election fraud. But they don't want to upset the apple cart. And worse yet, they turned on the president. Using some horse crap thing where they say, well, he incited violence. You have yet to prove to me that he incited violence. I've been back through the transcripts. The man did not incite violence.
Not even close.
But they're still, I'm telling you, and I pipe in Canadian news feeds and I pipe in from other countries. It's the same thing. They're all saying that the president incited violence. They have, but they submit no proof whatsoever. I mean, that, what a slander job.
Well, one of the networks reconfigured President Trump's words to make it appear that he was inciting violence, changing the context of the way things were said to...
Just like they did in Charlotte, right?
Right. They did some clever editing to give that impression. But the unedited version of what he said clearly has no indication of inciting violence whatsoever.
And they don't want that stuff out, John, right. Because you try and put that on social media, they kill your account.
Well, I'll be dropping, I have 5,000 subscribers on Facebook. I'll be making arrangements to drop that and go to USA.life over the next few weeks. It's going to take a while. I'm dropping YouTube pretty soon. I think it'll be about 4 weeks to make the transfer to everything to Rumble. And millions of Americans are doing the same thing. They're dropping Twitter, dropping Facebook, these accounts that are all being censored. And they should. Hurt them where it hurts in their pocketbook.
That's the only thing they understand. I always tell my wife, she'll be upset about something. We leave the store and she's upset. And I tell her, honey, the way you hurt people is you don't do business with them.
Right.
They don't. You could go in there and scream at the manager right now. He don't care. Don't do business with them. Then they care.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, anybody involved in retail understands that. And
absolutely.
Anybody who understands what retail will do to maintain customers with very liberal return policies and things like that, they don't want to lose customers.
Yep.
You know, getting a customer is very expensive, and losing a customer is even more expensive.
Yes, sir.
Now, getting back to the premise of what we're talking about, gentlemen, I live in a pretty remote part of Missouri. It's a 40-minute ride at the speed limit to the first red, yellow, and green traffic signal. 12 miles to the nearest place to get a gallon of gasoline. The little Cherryville store that I, where my post office is, it's also a country restaurant. Many of the patrons there have no education past high school. They're involved in, blue collar work, agricultural work. These are very unsophisticated people that have very little formal education, but it's a small restaurant, small store, and I can hear the men and women at the other tables talking, and they know exactly what you and I are talking about. Unsophisticated people, very little formal education, none past high school typically, and they know what's going on. At just this level of sophistication as you and I, Doug, and you and I, Randy, which tells me pretty much the whole country knows it. It's no secret. It's no secret at all. This little country restaurant doesn't even have a restroom. It's so remote. Nobody wears a mask, by the way. If somebody wears a mask in there, we know they're not from around here.
Yeah.
Nobody wears a mask. And things are quite normal in that regard. The young man that works in the post office, he's required to wear a mask or he'll lose his job, so he reluctantly has to wear one. But, other than that, nobody wears a mask in my neighborhood. Well, there is one couple, they're liberals, and they do wear a mask, and we all make fun of them. But the country is pretty much on the same page, knowing that the election was stolen, that it was criminal activity that stole it, and they're not going to respect this president occupying the Oval Office. They're simply not going to do it, gentlemen.
Well, and those are just good country people. That's the backbone of the country. I used to fish down in Clearwater Lake, just south of you.
I know Clearwater.
Yeah. I actually, believe it or not, I got a 6-pound bass out of that lake. But I used to go down there because it was in the middle of nowhere. There wasn't a house one on that lake. But when you went to the local towns, it's exactly what John's talking about. They're good people. When you go in, it's a diner, and you can actually say, yeah, I'll have a number two.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't have to speak a special language. The coffee's good. The conversation's good. Those are the people that I love.
Absolutely.
Keep your cities.
That's the heart of America.
And exactly.
As I frequently mentioned, there's more than 3,300 counties in the United States. The majority of them are pretty much like that. They're away from these cities. People work for a living in agriculture, in factories, driving a local school bus, working in a restaurant, whatever it is. It's the heart of America. These are the people that make America work, and they all know what's going on. It is not a secret that the election was stolen by the Democrats through criminal activity, and this president is going to have a tough road ahead of him. He'll show up to public events and have people stand up and turn their backs on him. That's what's going to happen. The front row will be full of patriots, and when he starts speaking, they'll stand up and turn their backs. Just that's like exactly what's going to happen to this president. You can count on it.
Just like the troops did when he was driving by in D.C.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We had a U.S. congressman who voted in favor of the assault weapon and high-capacity magazine ban in September 1994. He gave one more speech after that, and he never gave another speech in public ever again. He was so humiliated. Most of the audience stood up with their backs to him when he showed up for that speech. And he never gave another speech, despite he had enough money behind him to get reelected to Congress and eventually to U.S. Senate. But he never gave another speech publicly ever again.
When you look at a map, the red and blue map for the election, that tells you what the country is.
Right.
I mean, it's mostly red, plain and simple. And it's only in certain little, and these guys work that electoral college like they're playing chess. Okay.
Right.
All at both sides. I mean, that's what you do. But just a glance at that map tells you what this country's all about. Just a glance. Oh, you just boom, take a glance at it. Don't look at any city names or anything. It's almost all red.
Even in California and New York, the majority of the real estate is red.
Yep.
And it's a shame what's been done, because we have to give credit where credit is due. I call our opposition and socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, because they do have a coalition, by the way. Mm-hmm. They're clever. They're bright. And they know how to focus their energy. They know how to focus their resources to accomplish their goal. And the immediate goal was a success to capture the Oval Office, to capture the U.S. Senate, and to capture, of course, they already retained control, but they lost some seats in the House of Representatives. That's dangerous.
Yes.
We've got 4 years of great danger here. If they proceed with what they want to proceed with confiscation of commonly owned firearms, they know. They're not stupid. They know they will start a war. So that's clearly and obviously their goal, is to start a war. It's a sad day for America that we have people in those positions that want to do that, but that's exactly where we are, Randy.
Yep.
And their ultimate goal, obviously, is depopulation. And I think, you know, when we talk about things like this, we have to talk about who's behind this initiative. And it's depending on who you listen to, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the elite group from Davos. And we can never forget about how President Trump went to Davos and said, you know, America is exceptional. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they didn't like that. And of course, the hell that is being unleashed by the party of Davos. Those are the globalists. Those are the people who are who have the tentacles in our government, in our Justice Department, in our media, in our social media. It's that specific party of Davos. We're up against the top of the hour, folks. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. That's where to go for John's radio show. And after the top of the hour break, I want to ask you too, just briefly about. There's a hit piece by the Daily Beast on Sam Andrews. I know you talked to him about that, you guys had a conversation about that. I want to just address that after the break. But again, thelibertyman.com, bookmark that website. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmannReport.com, HagmannStore.com. America held hostage day 6. Gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
America held hostage day six. It is Monday, January 25th, 2021. And I don't say that lightly because I do believe that we're being held hostage based on fraudulent and fake elections. Of course, the censorship not allowing the truth to get out. And with me, of course, Randy Taylor and John Moore discussing this issue and more. And again, we're being held hostage by the party of Davos, by the Maoist, Marxist, Leninist global cabal. Before I get back to Randy and John, I just want to touch on something. You know, it's a new year. We're 3 weeks into a new year, are we not? And it's now is the time, if you're looking at your business, and many people are. I spent at a weekend or at a meeting with somebody over the weekend about their business, and we were talking about new hires, and I mentioned ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. I've got to tell you, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann is the place to go. They make hiring easy, and I'm telling you this by experience. Finding qualified candidates, it can be daunting. It can be challenging. It can suck your time in. But ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann makes it easy. You know, when you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 job sites with just a single click. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology scans thousands of resumes and profiles to send you the most qualified people for your job. I've seen this work, and it's phenomenal how this works. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Did you hear me? The first day. And I'm telling you, that's not traditionally how things used to work until ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann came on board. Now, here's how you have to do things. Here's what you need to do. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. And remember, there are two ends on Hagmann. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagmann. It's the smartest way to hire. That's ZipRecruiter, again, the smartest way to hire. And I've seen people, personal experience, have actually benefited. In fact, I know three people with two different businesses who use ZipRecruiter and still have, in fact, their relationships are great, very specialized services that they hired for, and it was a great fit. Also want to mention this real quick, satellitephonestore.com. We talked about this before. Folks, satellite phones, we are planning, you need a satellite phone. When communications go out, when cell phones go out, a satellite phone will work. Go to satellitephonestore.com. Go to Hagmann Report. Click on the link. It'll take you to Satellite Phone Store. We're working on they've actually created a plan for listeners of the Hagmann Report. But also, listen to this. We are working on a text message alert system by way of these phones. So go to satellitephonestore.com and sign up for the Quail Hagmann Quail special. I'm telling you, it's worth it. You cannot believe how affordable this is. Satellitephonestore.com. All right, let's get back to business. Let's get back to business. John Moore, libertyman.com. You got to listen to his show. And speaking of, and Randy Taylor, of course.
I don't have a show.
It's enough now. Come on, man.
While we're on the subject, ZipRecruiter is an awesome thing.
Yeah, it is.
As a former business owner, a service like that is awesome because your time is so valuable. Even if you have an HR department, which I didn't have the luxury of having an HR department.
You did not even have the R to the HR.
Yeah, but you still have to get the people to the HR department.
That's right.
So you can have HR department all day long, but I mean, unless they're standing street side waving cars down, you need ZipRecruiter. So I'm just telling you, that's a, and trust me, I'm not paid to plug these people.
No.
I'm telling you as a former business owner, that's a route you want to take.
Yep. You're right. And,
time is money, baby.
Oh man, I'll tell you, is it ever? And, yeah, speaking of which, time and money and, well, there's no real easy segue into this. Daily Beast did a hell of a hit piece, in my view, a hit piece. On Sam Andrews. And look, I've met, had lunch, dinner with Stuart Rose from Oath Keepers. I'm not one. Look, I don't want to get in the middle of any peeing contest here. Okay. I just don't, because it's not productive. But one thing I do want to get into.
A peeing contest, sir?
No. I'm not gonna cross swords with anyone.
Sorry.
Unless it's on my terms.
I got hairy legs.
Oh, baby.
I love it when the little roaches come up and rub the hair on my legs. But John Moore, what's not funny though, it's not funny how Sam Andrews, and you address this on your program, and folks, just go to thelibertyman.com and listen to Sam Andrews. Well, John, take it.
Well, calling it a hit piece is accurate. This female reporter was on the phone with Sam for quite some time, asking leading questions that, if answered in a way that the female reporter wanted, would cause Sam to admit to committing various federal crimes, which, of course, he wasn't going to answer the leading questions that would have that as a consequence. She was trying to drive a wedge between Sam and myself, probably not knowing that we've been friends for 27 years. You know, the fall of 1994 we met. That I'm very good friends with not only Sam, but his parents and his sister and his brother and so forth. That we have an unbreakable bond, a friendship that some female reporter is not going to break down. So Sam is a bright guy. He understands the law. He understands when he's being led into a trap, and he avoided the trap very successfully. I was kind of expecting the female reporter to be contacting me, which she has not, and after this passage of time, I don't believe she's going to. But I was prepared to deal with it. One of the things I learned dealing with the press is to never say anything, Doug, that even if taken out of context, can cause you any harm. That's a skill. It's a skill that I have, probably a skill that you and Randy both have, to never give an interview on TV or radio or to the print press anything that if taken out of context, can cause you any harm. It's a skill that any of us in the alternative media should all have, don't you think, Randy?
Absolutely, because they twist words, and you just have to make it to where it's pretty darn hard to twist them.
Exactly.
I just have two words, rolling stone.
Yeah.
Okay. I learned a lot from that, and I cut the interview short. I wouldn't answer any of the questions, and I got painted as a Pizzagate purveyor, and I knew that was coming. So yeah, there's no winning. There's no winning with that. So go ahead. Right. Go ahead, John.
Right. Well, Russia Today is another one. Our mutual friend Dave Hodges, he found out the hard way that he couldn't deal with those people successfully because they have no ethics. None at all. And they will twist, they will turn, they will massage anything that you say to have the outcome they're looking for. I was the commander of the militia in St. Louis City and County in the spring of 95 when the Murrah Federal Building was blown up. And we had 2 weeks of nationwide TV of videotape of Michigan militia training in the woods of Michigan and burned up babies in Oklahoma City. Back and forth to convince people that somehow some way militias were involved in blowing up that building and harming those children. The only connection was Mr. McVeigh, who, by the way, did not blow up the building, was at a gun show and picked up a business card off a table. That was it. That was the only connection there was, which is no connection at all, of course. But the media was able to convince most Americans that there was a connection between Michigan militia or other militias and that building being blown up by Tim McVeigh, who, as I said earlier, did not blow up the building. I had great hopes for a second President Trump term when these crimes could be addressed once again. The destruction of the Murrah Federal Building, the events of 9/11/01, the events of what happened at Waco, Texas, all of which did not happen in a way the official reports claim that they happened. None of them, with great loss of life in each case, by the way. You know, Randy and Doug, the debris from the Murrah Federal Building is in a landfill down outside Oklahoma City someplace with a fence around it and 24-hour-day guards, probably in perpetuity, for the following reason. The evidence to demonstrate that Tim McVeigh did not blow up that building is part of that debris, which is why it needs to be guarded, because if it's ever recovered and proper forensics are done, it will show beyond any shadow of a doubt that that rental truck full of ammonia and ammonia fertilizer and diesel fuel did not destroy that building. It couldn't destroy that building. It was impossible to destroy that building. Same thing at Waco. Within a few hours of all those people being murdered by the FBI and the active duty military, it was bulldozed and covered with gravel. Once again, the evidence is still there. The evidence I've seen is very clear and convincing that these men and women and children were murdered by the FBI and their co-conspirators in the U.S. active duty U.S. military. Same thing, 9/11/01. The most damning evidence that's clearly available to anybody who wants to take even a cursory look is Building 7. Not hit by an airplane. They had some fires that the local, I used to say Boy Scouts, but actually the local Cub Scouts could have put out, the small fires that were in Building 7. And it came down in its own,
Exactly. But the point, I just want to make sure the point you're getting to, and I think that this is relevant for today, is the fact that, look, January 6th happened, okay, with respect to loss of life, Antifa BLM operatives entering the Capitol with malicious intent. That's, we really can't deny that. But, by definition, I would say that's a false flag. Okay, loosely by definition. So here's, with respect to what you said, every one of those incidents resulted in some level of legislation or some level of painting.
Loss of liberty.
There you go. Thank you. So what's going to happen based on January 6th? And I don't think January 6th has got enough power behind it. There's going to be another incident, I believe, that's going to take place that's going to cause Randy.
I think the next one that comes up will be blamed somehow on the Middle East so that we can fully engage in a war there.
Sure.
That's the smell.
Well, that as well as, you know, propelling the conservative Christian MAGA movement. And pardon that description. But let's blame the Trump supporters in addition.
Well, the thing I don't get is this, like Lemon and these guys talking about how the people in the Capitol on the 6th were white supremacists.
We've seen this before, Randy. DC sniper. We had multiple police agencies, local, state, and federal, searching for an angry white male in a white van. These poor guys, these plumbers and electricians and carpenters and so forth, are all getting pulled over in their white vans when it was actually a Muslim teenage, a black Muslim teenage boy and his black buddy driving a full-size American automobile.
And John, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I gotta tell you, Randy Taylor profiled precisely the-
I had this guy on the Middle Eastern forums. I'll give you his freaking username. It was 1985.
Yep.
That was his username. I was tracking this. I was all over this guy.
Yep.
All over.
In real, I can verify this in real time.
And we knew he was shooting from concealment in a vehicle.
Yep.
Really?
Well, I mean, before the first shot, we knew.
And
his profile name in the password protected Al-Qaeda forums, FBI, I know you're listening, was 1985. Why? That's when he was born. And I'm telling you, I was all over this guy.
And you know what, John? The sad fact is, when that information was turned over to the FBI in real time before the loss of life that occurred subsequent to the first shooting, it was friggin' ignored. Okay.
Oh, they didn't want to hear where he was going to hit next. We knew where he was zigzagging. It's not in my home. I have the paperwork of the exact postings printed out on paper out of those forums. I'll just tell you, I have them secured.
Really?
Yep. So, John, I mean, we're not, Randy and we're not, strangers to this kind of abuse. And
they
I say abuse.
But they know these things are coming and they let it play out because it serves a purpose for them somehow.
Right.
Because, you know, 9/11, look at what happened to Department of Homeland Security. I mean, it was created. Department of Homeland Security.
And the Patriot Act.
And thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are employed over the buildings being crashed into. And anybody goes back and looks at that has to question some things. I'm not, and believe me, I don't say that the entire government was in on it, but there are certain elements in the government that were in on it. I'm sorry, I don't believe in the coincidences that happened that day.
No.
You could never sell it to me. I don't care. And ask anybody here. I am not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not the tin hat guy. I that's not me. But there's way too many questions. And every time, as Doug and I were talking, and John, when they do this, then suddenly there's more infringements on our liberties and freedoms for our own protection, of course.
That's right.
We are so being invaded without a shot, man. The shot's not being fired at us. It's fired at something else.
Well,
it affects us.
The banking industry changed dramatically after 9/11 with the Patriot Act. What it takes to open a simple checking account in your hometown bank changed dramatically. The belief is that international terrorists that have the funding of entire countries behind them can't figure out how to circumvent these silly things that we all have to do. And look at the security at these airports. A friend of mine, a former special forces officer, he was hired by the St. Louis City Airport to do a security evaluation, which he spent the better part of 2 weeks there going to every nook and cranny. And he reported to the authorities. He said, gentlemen, what you've got won't work. There's places where two van loads with three Islamic terrorists each could park, have rocket-propelled grenades, take out a dozen fully loaded aircraft, jumbo jets, be loaded up, and be gone in less than 3 minutes. Load, shoot, rocket-propelled grenades. Very simple, very quick, and very easily done. They didn't want to hear it. Instead, they concentrate on grandmothers going through metal detectors.
There's such a threat, John.
I know.
They're only a threat when you're taking a parking space.
Exactly. I was interviewed, Fox News interviewed me twice in the fall of 2001 about security, international terrorism. The young female editor, whatever she was, producer. And we were getting along pretty good. First show got good numbers. Of course, that's what it is, rating. The second show got better ratings. So we're getting more comfortable working with each other. And she talked way too fast, by the way, New York girl. She says, John, what do you want to talk about next? And I said, well, how about this? How about the feel-good, make-believe security at these airports? She says, okay, I'll talk to my boss and get back with you. She calls him back the next day. She says, John's too scary. We can't talk about the feel-good, make-believe security at these airports all over the country. And that was the end of my Fox News career. Yeah, they edit. They edit and they censor and they make sure that the truth does not get out, which is my reality is the security at these airports is feel-good, make-believe security. I know what real security is. And unless you secure a perimeter at least 3 miles beyond these airports where an RPG can hit an airplane flying or taking off or on the tarmac, you have no security.
Yep.
Simply, it's a fantasy.
Yep. And, out in Orlando, classic example, the flight path is mainly over farmland. Okay, and I mean, exactly what John just said. I can sit out there with rocket propelled grenades or Stinger missiles and take out jets. So they're not, that is an illusion, the security. Absolutely an illusion. What John just described, right. Because I actually contacted down in Orlando International, and I said, you guys got a problem out here. Not even a response.
No.
Not even a response. Not thank you for the letter. You know.
Anybody involved in law enforcement knows of the cooperation between the international terrorists and the drug cartels.
Yep.
That's well known and well established. It's not even debatable. The drug chart, any group that can bring cocaine in by the ton into this country, of course they can bring in rocket-propelled grenades, crew-served weapons, the real weapons of war. The AR-15 sold to local sporting goods store is not a weapons of war, not even close, on one hand. On the other, the real weapons of war, rocket-propelled grenades, belt-fed machine guns, mortars, and so forth. Of course, they could and probably have been brought in. The only reason they haven't been used is because they haven't got the go sign from their bosses yet to use them, the people in charge of the jihadist sleeper cells, of which there are many, by the way. They simply haven't got the signal for the go.
And the sleeper cells didn't just show up in 9/11. They've been embedded in this country for decades before 9/11.
And now would be the time. If they're ever going to be activated, I would say now would be the time to go ahead and activate them. What do you think, Randy?
I absolutely agree. They're going to need something of a substantial size to take another shot at our freedoms and liberties.
Well, we keep hearing 38 to 40 American cities being hit all at the same time. Yeah. Now would be the time. They made some efforts, of course, in Portland. That's no surprise. But the jihadists have been recruited, trained, equipped. They believe in what they're doing.
And they're getting bolder, John. Just since they knew Biden was going to take office. I don't know if you follow Steve Emerson at all.
I don't know.
Okay, but he sends out regular publications, you know, and things from the Middle East. They're getting bolder now. It's just like suddenly, boom, things changed. We're going to see a huge comeback here of Al-Qaeda / ISIS, which is... One is just a franchise of the other. It's
President Trump smashed ISIS. He ground to the ground, where Hussein Obama was helping them out. That's what Benghazi was all about, getting weapons to our enemies.
Yeah, I think Stevens was going to give up the goods on that.
That would be a good reason to kill him, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You'd have a hard time convincing me otherwise, but I'm pretty sure Hillary Clinton and Obama had Stevens murdered.
Well, I don't know how accurate the film was. And the film, of course, was 13 hours. If you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen, you need to see it. It's fairly close to what happened. Fairly close. And I don't know how close they got the persona of Ambassador Stevens. Evans, but he appeared to me to be a kind of a Eagle Scout naive kind of guy in the real world, who was way in over his head in terms of the reality of the Middle East and the reality of the jeopardy that he was in. And he may very well have fit the profile of a guy who would have spilled the beans, thinking it was the right thing to do to help the people in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's the impression I got from the time it happened.
Well, that could be very accurate. No right-thinking person could believe that more weapons going into the Middle East is going to make things better.
well, that and that Atala guy or whatever that they picked up that supposedly spearheaded the whole thing, you know, was picked up, put on a Navy ship outside of New York, quietly tried in a courtroom, supposedly. You know, all that stuff should have been front page news. They killed our ambassador. But everything that had anything to do, Abdullah Katala, I think his name was, anybody had anything to do with that, just mysteriously kind of went away.
Well, that's another thing that second term President Trump could easily and probably should have gotten into.
Yeah.
Things he couldn't do his first term. Things that were too sensitive, too explosive.
Well, things you declassified, John. There's apparently some legislators have been sitting on the stuff, and it still hasn't made it to the street.
Well, it needs to.
Not absolutely. Apparently, for sure. I mean, even Lindsey Graham, I want to say, you talk about holding things up. Lindsey Graham is one that's holding things up. And by the way, Benghazi, I would refer people to my written series on Benghazi, Canada Free Press. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of this goes back to the seven, disappearance or the kidnapping of seven, Red Crescent workers. Start from there. Okay. For those people who follow Benghazi, you'll know what I'm talking about. The seven Red Crescent workers were picked up, were kidnapped. And then, I think a day after Benghazi happened, they were released. But that and, the Brennan connection to Benghazi. All right. And yes, but I also want to say too, to what John said and to Randy, you too, the Middle East right now, you talk about some issues. What, the day of the inauguration or the day after, you had two consecutive suicide bomb blasts in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad's market, 21 martyred or 21 killed, 44 injured, according to the Iraqi resistance media. Yeah, you think that this isn't timed well?
And we've got trucks with men and supplies moving from Iraq into Syria.
Yes.
U.S. military vehicles.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
As we speak. Actually, it was like Wednesday through Friday.
The moment they crossed the international border, they've committed an act of war. Well, they have.
Well, then we've committed an act of war.
I mean, it's on the face of it. U.S. military crossing this international border into Syria is an act of war against Syria.
Well, what's new? Okay, this is Obama's third term.
Oh, absolutely, Doug. You could not be more right.
And Hillary Clinton's, you know, look, I want to know who's speaking in the earpiece of Biden, okay? Whether he walks in and walks into... By the way, I thought it was a great move when President Trump fired the usher. And I don't know whether you guys saw that picture of Biden and his wife trying to get into the Oval Office, standing there going, hey. The door wasn't open for him because the usher was fired. But that aside.
But that's okay. Q said that they went to a movie studio and shot all that.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. or was Biden sitting there signing executive orders? Say, I'm not sure, or, you know, what am I, I don't know what I'm signing. And then the voice.
I heard that.
Yeah. I mean, on and on and on. So, but getting back, and I just want to kind of punch this in here because this is hard news right now. Folks, go to, HagmanReport.com, which, the Navarro Report, the third installment. Check this out. Both of you guys check it because it all comes back down to November 3rd. We can't get past. We should not get past November 3rd. What you're seeing on the screen is kind of a summary of not, you know, firefights on the moon of for servers or whatever. This is just simple vote irregularities and illegalities by category and state. That page right there should be stapled up to every flipping telephone pole, every business window, every and handed out leaflets, because and that right there.
And every Democrat forehead stapled.
There you go. It double stapled. But I'm telling you, okay, that without even having to address the machines, that's just plain and simple evidence in terms of the illegalities that were done. Those are the numbers.
The scary part is every one of those numbers could have turned the election.
Yes.
That's the scary part. That's the part that really infuriates. It'd be different if they had 127 people cheated. Okay. Done.
Right.
But when you have enough numbers to not just change the election, but change it drastically, this should be torn apart. You and I were talking on break, Doug. Rand Paul going state to state to prove election fraud. That's his mission.
Well, have him take this with him.
And that would be good. In fact, we can get that to him. But what I had said is we've got to get some middle of the road state legislators that are Democrats to get on board. Something. They've got to hear it from both sides. Because as long as it's just the right saying it, nobody's listening.
My question.
Except the choir. I mean, they're preaching to the choir.
Right, right. And John Moore, you had mentioned this too. I mean, look, we are Americans. And without free and fair elections, we don't have a country. We don't have a republic. This is not, by the way, a democracy. This is a representative republic. So anyone out there talking, stop using the word democracy.
Well, you better send a memo out to the legislative assemblies because they call it a democracy every day.
Exactly.
Idiots.
Exactly. But John Moore, I mean, we have to get the word out. And you know, again, back to your prepper tip of the day. This is ammunition, in my view, to red pill the people who are just glued to CNN and MSNBC. And, well, I don't know if they're salvageable, but the others are. Go ahead.
Well, we need to reach the ones we can. We can anguish over the ones we can't reach, but there's people who simply won't be reachable. That's just the nature of the beast. If a good-sized percentage of people we do reach takes action, that would be a massive arming. There's a publication put out called Imprimis, put out by a conservative Christian college. They have not quite 5 million copies that go out every month. National Rifle Association has just over 3 million members. I might be wrong on that. It could be quite a bit more. There's a hard core of about 5 million Americans who know what's going on, and I think many of them are prepared to do something about it in terms of political action. Those are the people we need to reach. We don't need to reach all Americans. I don't think that's really a viable goal. But we need to reach the educated, productive people who are willing to get out and do things, make phone calls, send emails, support with money to turn this thing around. We don't need everybody. We're not going to get everybody. That's simply it's a pipe dream. But if we get enough people who are willing to work, make those phone calls, have coffees at their home, make donations, send emails, volunteer, whatever needs to be done, then we can turn this thing around, Doug. I really do believe that.
You know, I agree with you, and I just want to, for the people out there who are listening, let us never forget that I'm just going to highlight like 6 points, okay? Vote counting was halted the night of the election, in the swing states especially. For no reason, no reason was given or no legitimate reason was given. And it was a coordinated effort. Voters identified as indefinitely confined to illegally receive absentee ballots, even though they were young and healthy. That happened. Wisconsin in particular. Ballots for voters under the age of 18 were counted. voters submitted multiple ballots in the same state or across multiple states. Voters submitted ballots in states that they didn't live in. Poll watchers were illegally removed from polling places for questioning fraudulent vote counting. I would remind people again of the Battle of Athens, McMinn County, Tennessee, 1946, but I digress. You had absentee ballots counted, even though the votes were never requested or filled them out. Vote counting machines had overridden vote selection percentages above 60% in some counties and far above the normal ranges in many others. And lastly, vote counting machines had the overridden vote selection logs wiped for 2020. You talk about the destruction of evidence. There it is right there. Folks, we should be on the phones. We should be on email. We should be in the streets, and we should resolve this before we do another damn thing. That's just my view. Sorry, guys.
Well, that's a good summary, Doug. An excellent summary. It needs to be repeated frequently, I believe. It helps people to understand the gravity of this, understand how widespread it was. I've heard the number 50,000 men and women involved, some volunteered, some paid, to engage in vote fraud nationwide. That's probably a fairly accurate number given the size of this fraud. It's a sad commentary that our republic has gotten to this point where people will volunteer to commit fraud, that people will accept relatively small payments. I doubt many of them were paid more than $300 to $500 for the vote fraud that they engaged in. Very sad commentary on our republic and where we are as a people. But we need to deal with reality. Reality is that the vote was stolen. There was criminal activity involved. I don't know what the status is of Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell filing lawsuits, if that continues or not. Do either one of you know that?
Randy, we spoke about that. I'm not sure. I think Rudy was just sued by Dominion to join Sidney Powell.
Over $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, 600. I think Sidney Powell's lawsuit, Dominion v. Powell, is $631 million in change they're asking.
They're only doing that, one, to try and maintain their reputation, but two, because the media and everybody's going to support this.
Of course.
Going after Giuliani. Right. When all the evidence, if carefully examined, Dominion is just a cheating enterprise from the word go. Now you wonder how that guy Trudeau in Canada got in office.
Right. That's how he got there. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And before somebody emails me and says, oh, well, we use paper ballots in Canada. I know that. But the machines count the ballots.
Exactly.
So get your head out your butt.
You got it, Randy. The machines count the ballots. And there's a famous Joe Stalin quotation, I care not who votes, I care who counts the votes, if I can paraphrase. That's where we are.
And to give you an example of what we were talking about in 1984, the movies, how they're changing everything. Now, if you go on Google and you look up that thing about Stalin, they'll say it's false. It wasn't false 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
It wasn't false a year ago. No, I'm telling you. I looked it up day before yesterday. Oh, no, that's taken out of context. I'm looking at the sources for this. I'm like, I heard of you people.
It's classic Soviet propaganda is to eliminate the past.
Thank you. And in the digital age, it is so easy for them to do that and affect our children. That's why I told you I love books. I've never thrown a book away in my life. I will put it in a box and put it in the basement. Because
my library is hundreds of volumes, which we're looking forward to using the Dewey Decimal.
That's going to the children. That's going to the children and the grandchildren, because I want them to know what the truth was.
Yeah. You know what, John? You make an interesting and Randy, both of you guys make an interesting point. Pick up an encyclopedia pre 1960. And compare it to today's Britannica, for example, or I'm using that as an example. Totally different in terms of content. And, yeah, it's amazing. It really is. So, all right. John, what else do you have on your radar? Because your show, again, You have Sam Andrews on Mondays. Of course, Nyquist Thursday and Tuesdays. I mean, it's a fantastic program. What's on your radar now?
Getting back to basics, encouraging people to become more self-sufficient in water and food and keeping their house warm, anything they can to be self-sufficient. That's where I'll be focusing for the foreseeable future, making sure people have skills. The skills of ham radio, the skills of first aid CPR, the skills of gardening, of doing routine things around a farm and a ranch. I think that we may be headed for a time where growing food will not be optional. We have very vulnerable supply lines for the growing and distribution of food. We have in China, a massive issue with food not being available. I believe that all Americans would be well served if they could at least have gardens, fresh fruits and vegetables they're growing themselves to be more independent. Get those skills now while they can. Keep extra water on hand, keep extra food on hand, even keep extra fuel on hand. What's coming at us will not have a good ending. And the better prepared you are, the better off you're going to be in the end.
All I learned from about gardening, and I didn't mean to overtalk you, Randy, all I learned from gardening was from Oliver Wendell Douglas, Green Acres, and farming is not an easy task, okay? And, you know, Mr. Haney, Green Acres, okay? But in all seriousness, you know.
You're showing his age, folks.
But seriously, farming is not a simple task. I mean, the concept is simple.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. I saw the reruns. You saw the original shows. Another thing, John, I would add to that list for people, cash. Small bills.
Absolutely.
And I know that from being in hurricanes when you go to the store and no banking machines were working and you wanted to buy milk. And if all you had was a 20, guess how much the milk was? Small bills, people.
Right. Well, that's good advice. And normally I think of 20s being small bills, but I could see a situation where they wouldn't be. Absolutely.
I can't afford the, you know, anything more than small bills. The last time I had a handful of $1 bills, my wife looked at me like, where are you going?
Yeah, hey, buddy. It wasn't to church.
Yeah. Now I'm showing my age. Rumor has it that they don't take $1 bills anymore.
Well, they probably have ATMs now, Doug. Or those little debit machines.
They'll make fun of you if you do.
Cheapskate. Yeah, you know what? And folks, look, it does us good to laugh sometimes. I look at what we have here as a very interesting and very great panel with John Moore, thelibertyman.com. And folks, make sure you bookmark that. And Randy Taylor, who's, you heard him talking about Malvo and Boyd, Beltway snipers. You know, he was on top of them. And I'll tell you, I watched it happen in real time.
You get a really good look at the government by working with them. I didn't work with them like on a payroll thing. It was more of a contract thing.
Right.
But you really get to see just how slimy it can get. When you tell someone that somebody's going to get killed and they go, okay. And then 2 days later, that person is dead and there's a video of it.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been prevented.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. And I'll never forget the day. I was so in with the terrorists online that I knew when they were going to kill Israeli settlers and where. And I would send that information in. We would do nothing. I would come home at 5 o'clock that night and the settlers were dead just as I said they would be.
And just John, just
so I know,
so
I know how they work.
Yeah, and so people know we were. I have the letter. In fact, I've got copies of the letter deposited elsewhere. John, I got we got a letter from the FBI. The FBI vetted us proper informational and operational assets.
We were recognized as credible.
Right, and we were given locations to send the information that we, Randy and others, grabbed online. And, it was, what would you get? Fast tracked right to the proper people. Mm-hmm. But to see that information just disregarded and people die because of it. Mm-hmm. You said it, Randy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And John, you know, John, I mean, you know,
yeah,
I do know.
Yeah,
I do know. I was first made those first kinds of observations back in the town of Pennsylvania.
I'd like to see if it's the feds.
The feds, yes. So that was the doorbell, in case anyone's wondering. it's a lovely live show. It happens. It happens. All right.
But this is, we know what we're up against, and the problem is the agencies and the legal system that should be there to aid us and provide us with what we need are not. That's herein lies the problem. The DOJ didn't give a damn about vote tampering and election fraud. They don't care.
Obviously not. Okay. I would have done something about it.
So you sit there and you go, okay, well, who am I really supposed to talk to? And this is where people get frustrated. Being ignored. You're told always, ever since you're a little kid, you do things the right way and you always do it legally. Well, what happens when the legal system isn't there for you?
That's right.
I'll tell you what happens. You take matters in your own hands.
I agree.
And none of these idiots are learning anything from that. They tell us use the legal system and then shut the door in our face. It's like, use the legal system. Wham!
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, what choices do you leave us? Do you want to know why people showed up on the 6th? And they came honestly, peacefully.
Well, and I contend this to you, both of you gentlemen. So the reason the left is coming after the people who were there on the 6th, at least, 400,000, conservatively, 400,000 appeared at the Capitol on the 6th, that rally. That's what scares them. Not the small group that was disruptive. It's the 400,000 that scares the living hell out of these globalists.
Because they were calm.
That's right.
You don't, that's the guy, those are the guys you don't mess with.
That's right.
Not the guys up front breaking glass. Okay. I am, what was done on the 6th by the patriots, by the true patriots that were out there, was the right thing to do. And it sent a message that scared them so bad that they had to have how many people to protect the inauguration of the falsely elected president.
And they haven't gone home. What's the latest? Are they still there in the Capitol, the troops?
Yes. In fact, they're going to, now they're talking about keeping them until mid-March.
Yeah, I think a couple states, Texas is pulling theirs.
That's so disruptive. You know, these men and women have lives. They have employment. Sometimes they own businesses. They have families. Yep. And, this is not the active duty military. It's incredibly disruptive to these men and women to be out like that.
And John, the way they were treated, put in the parking garage. Really? Are you kidding me?
Well, President Trump opened up his hotel right down the street there on Pennsylvania Avenue to them also.
So, outstanding.
I've been in that hotel. It's very elegant, beautiful hotel.
Yeah. Yeah, I have as well. And, this just in, okay, this kind of goes with both, with what you both are saying. This just in, Department of Justice Office of the Inspector General, you ready for this, guys? Announces the initiation of an investigation. The DOJ, Inspector General Horowitz, announced this morning that they're initiating an investigation into whether any former or current DOJ officials, and I'm quoting this, engaged in any improper attempt to have the Department of Justice seek to alter the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. What in the hell is that about? You did hear me, guys, right?
Yeah, I heard you. Yeah.
I mean, John, the Office of the Inspector General investigating the current former IG or the Department of Justice to see if they had any play into seeking to alter the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. And obviously that is not for voter fraud. That is for the opposite of that.
Why would you investigate somebody for doing their job? You know, that their job was, the Inspector General's job would be to look for criminal activity in this election. That's part of their mission statement. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's just people will misinterpret this as, oh, this is a good thing. No. Well, you're not getting this. Everyone, and you guys both said this. We're at war. I mean, internally and against the party of Davos, the globalists. This is the kind of stuff that's gonna cause, I think, the average American or American patriots, more appropriately, to have a redo of the six.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, they are. They're gonna push them to the point, and then guess what? Whatever happens is on their heads. Of the people doing this, not the patriots.
Yeah.
Another thing, and I firmly believe this, the only way to really fix the election system is, honestly, I think that the people, the supervisors of elections and all, this should be a non-political position. That's just people will disagree with me on that, but I think that portion of it needs to be in some sort of neutral type position. I think that all 50 states need to answer specifically to a federal election commission. Once again, non-political, and everybody's using the same machinery. If we're going to use machines, it has to be the same machinery. And there has to be some sort of system put in place where there's none of these shenanigans where somebody can go in and just stick a stick drive in, flash drive, and alter something. Well, or sit there and foolishly tell us, well, these things aren't online. Do I look stupid?
Well, to them, we do.
And that's what kills me. Like, I'm an idiot? Really?
Any machine's going to be electronic. It's going to be, I have a computer inside.
Absolutely.
I don't see where we need them, Randy. Just have paper ballots counted at the precinct.
Thank you.
It's not a big logistical issue, quite frankly, to count the ballots at each precinct.
Nope.
A few adults can do that in just maybe an hour or so. And
voting needs to stop at midnight, sir.
Absolutely. And no mail-in ballots.
That's
none.
The end of it.
None.
No, that was hand in hand. COVID, mail-in ballots.
Exactly. We couldn't have one without the other.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was such a setup. From the get-go.
It was intended to be. It didn't just happen spontaneously. That we may never know the truth, but no. The ultimate decision to release the Chinese flu may have been just so they could have the mail-in ballots.
That's what I believe.
Right.
I firmly believe that.
It certainly makes sense that they would do that.
I think it was after failed a coup, failed impeachments, you know, failed this, failed that, failed Russia investigation, that's the next best thing they could come up with. They had to have something that they were going to be able to use to alter the election.
Absolutely.
And suddenly it's COVID. You know, something that was supposed to last, if you wear a mask for 3 weeks, we'll be okay. This will all be straightened out. You know, right now up in Canada, they're contemplating, this was just in the news and somebody sent it to me, they're contemplating putting the country implementing whatever their military thing is and locking people down.
Nationwide lockdown in Canada.
Yes. Yep. And using, there's this fancy term for it up there, but it's like martial law and it's military rules. And that's honestly, Trudeau has been talking with Biden about this.
Yep.
Biden.
Amazing. Well, 8% of the population lives within an hour drive or so of the U.S. border. I can see a lot of U.S. businesses getting a lot of business from the Canadians that want to go to a restaurant to go shopping.
No, the border's closed.
Border's closed.
The border's closed.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Newsflash, it's been closed.
It's been closed. Unless, now, that's the land borders.
Now, that's our biggest trading partner. Canada's our biggest trading partner.
Chinese airlines have been flying into Pearson up there, though.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
There was no stop in the Chinese airlines flying in and out of Pearson the entire time that this has been going on. That's almost a year. Explain that one to me. And I know the people on the inside.
Well, it's money, obviously. To me, it's money.
Let me put a smile on John Moore's face because we only have about 3.5 minutes left of the program. I can't believe how quickly it's gone. John Moore, in your area, in your state, Jefferson City, Missouri, you know that area pretty well, right?
Right. Okay. Right. You talking about the gun store?
Yeah. Let me put a smile on your face and everyone listening. Trigger Firearms and Reloading in Jefferson City, Missouri published a statement on Facebook saying they will no longer sell munitions or firearms to Biden supporters. And we don't have guns or ammo for Biden supporters, the gun store wrote on his Facebook page. Sorry for the inconvenience, John. Right. That's your state. You got to love that, right?
Well, my ad for concealed carry in the newspaper used to say, no Obama supporters are Muslims for concealed carry training.
And there we have it. Isn't that, I mean, because it goes both ways, doesn't it? I mean, it
does.
It should anyway.
It does. It sure.
Doug, you brought up something at the beginning of the show. You said about it being darkest before the dawn. Yep. And I just want to tell the listeners, it's always darkest before the dawn. And if you're going to steal your neighbor's newspaper, that's the time to do it.
Okay.
And you know what? Steal my newspapers or my newspaper? I get the Epic Times by mail, but if you do try to take it out of my box, make sure you're not in your robe and slippers.
I'm training my dog to do it.
Okay.
John Moore, thelibertyman.com. John, again, you had a great show today. You did. I think you did cover that today, didn't you? Trigger Firearms?
No, we didn't. I considered it, but we didn't get to it today. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. But yeah, John, you've got a tremendous program Monday through Friday, 3 hours a day. TheLibertyMan.com. The web presence for John Moore. There it is right there. And folks, you can get to the archive, drill down there. And of course, if you scroll down on the website, there's news, there's product information from John, and there's a lot of great information.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. You know what? You're the man. You're the man. I'll tell you what, the man, the myth, the legend, as I say. John Moore. And of course.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. We'll see you next Monday.
All right, brother. You take care. And Randy Taylor, thank you so much, man, for riding shotgun with me. It's
a gentlemen, always a pleasure. John, absolutely a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
It's,
we'll get through this. We'll get through this.
All right. Well, that's it. All right, folks. So the remainder of the week, of course, we are in full swing. I don't want anyone to curl up in a fetal position. I don't want anyone to say we can't do this. I want everyone to not let November 3rd be forgotten. It's all about November 3rd. We have to keep in their faces. We have to be aggressive. We have to shine brightest, as was said earlier. We have to shine brightest when it's darkest out, and each one of us can do it. May God bless each and every one of you. HagmanReport.com. Make sure to check there for updates. HagmanStore.com for delicious gourmet coffee. That's HagmanReport.com, HagmanStore.com. Also, satellite phone store. Just click on the link on HagmanReport.com. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great day. night.